Good evening, my name is Mark Frye, Chair of the Safety Committee, and I'd like to call the Safety Committee meeting to order at 6:30 PM. The subject of the matter in front of us this evening is a flock safety agreement, and in attendance are myself as Chair, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. McCann, Ms. Stow from, as members of the committee, Mr. Hanson is here, Chief Miller, Mrs. Brining, Mr. Sanford, Ms. Bigelow, Mayor Stow, and Mr. Aller are also in attendance. And then we also have Ms. Cornell, who is a representative of flock, and looks like we've got a presentation that'll be put forward for our review and consideration. So see Mr. Hanum walking through the door now here in a moment, but Chief, if you could start us off, and I know you passed out some information, Mr. Hanum and I both had some questions, and we got some answers back, which we certainly appreciate that.
No questions answered, I know Ms. Brining was looking into some of the concerns that were voiced with the public records. Did you have anything you wanted to bring up with that?
Sure, yep, I can just, we can chat about it briefly, and then if anybody has any follow-up after the meeting. Typically in Ohio, those, how other communities are treating the flock printouts are kind of like our leaves printouts, so those are not considered a public record, so they are not subject to public records requests. That's one exception, and then also if it's part of an ongoing or current investigation, that is not discoverable by a public record request. There can, how some communities are treating them in Ohio are like leads printouts, things like that, because leads are law enforcement tool, so they're not a public record and not subject to disclosure.
Okay, and Ms. Cornell, what's your experience? I know, I saw from the information that there were 2,000 communities, I think that you had, and maybe that's inaccurate information because it was a few months ago when it was provided, I assume it's probably more by now. Is that your experience that most law enforcement agencies and communities handle it that way, or what's your experience?
Typically, yes, but we do always recommend that they consult with their city attorney just to make sure based on the different laws in different jurisdictions. You are correct about the 2,000 communities, that's still somewhere about the same, so, but yeah, we see typically the way it works is what Ms. Brining explained, so it's, you know, just a way to, we do recommend though that you speak with your city attorney to make sure.
Understood, okay. Chief, any other comments before we go into the presentation?
Just one thing, that maybe you saw late this morning, our latest, one of our neighbors signed down this flock, and that was Rosford Police Department, just announced that they signed for, I believe it was 18 cameras with that, so.
All right. Well, it's great to be here with you all, I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight in person with you. My name is Amy Cornell, I'm a Community Affairs Manager with Flock Safety, and I have about an 8 to 10 minute presentation, and then I'm happy to check in the questions if you have as well. So I will jump right in. So I'll start with a little bit of background on really what the mission is and how the company started. So the mission of Flock is to eliminate crime together, and this is all working with the community, both law enforcement, schools, businesses. Our vision is really eliminating crime. Why Flock Safety? I'll tell you a little bit about how the company started. We started back in 2017, and this was when our president and CEO, he and his neighbors were actually the victims of crimes, and this is in Atlanta, where the company's headquartered. So they were experiencing car break-ins and home invasions and things like that in their neighborhood. They had Ring-type doorbell cameras that were recording some of the activity going on in the neighborhood, which they were able to bring to police, but the feedback they received, or that our founder received, was, you know what, this is great, but what we really need is a license plate to be able to track down these folks. So he set out to create this product that is affordable, ethical, and easy to use, and efficient. So that's a little bit about how we started. It's been around for about 6 years now. So, and this is what we see as an opportunity to really be able to use these license plate readers in your community. So, of course, across the country, limited police resources, yet crime is on the rise. Really nearly impossible to put a police officer on every corner and to be able to effectively identify some of the suspects in a lot of these cases. This is really not meant to replace the great police work that's done, but it's really meant to serve as a technology as a force multiplier. So I want to spend some time on how this technology works. What you're seeing up on the screen there is a shot of the back of the vehicle. This isn't actually a picture from the camera, but this is what you would see. So this is what you're seeing is the license plate. You see the color of the vehicle, the make and model of the vehicle. What you're not seeing is who is driving that vehicle or any occupants in that car. So there's no information on that. It's strictly just tied to the vehicle and the license plate. So these devices are infrastructure free. You get 24/7 coverage. They can pick up license plates at night as well with infrared technology. And they're tied to real-time alerts through the National Crime Information Center and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children as well. And as I mentioned, the ethically made piece, there's no people, no facial recognition. It's not tied to third-party databases, and there's no traffic enforcement. So talk a little bit about what this is and a little bit about even what this is not. Mentioned the no personally identifiable information. The other piece I wanted to highlight is the data isn't stored beyond the 30-day period. So it's stored in the Amazon Web Services cloud, and anything that's not used as part of a police investigation is going to be deleted after that 30-day period. So it will, if they're motion sensors, and they will take photographs of each vehicle driving by, but most of those pictures are going to, still photos are going to be in the cloud, and then deleted. So just some background or a little bit of idea of how this technology can help deter and eliminate crime. The investigative piece, of course, is pretty obvious. I think the deterrent piece as well for the cameras being in the community. The proactive part, I wanted to give an example there. So say there's a stolen vehicle that's being driven through your city, and most occupants who are driving stolen vehicles or suspects driving stolen vehicles are looking to commit more crime and not just passing through. So you would be able to head that off, and the police department would be able to intervene and stop that person before crime is committed in your city. I want to talk through how these devices and how Flock actually works to protect privacy. So the footage is owned completely by the police department. So it's like it's a software as a service model. So we will, the data and the footage is owned, but the cameras are leased. So the cameras are owned by Flock, and the data is owned by the agency. And then the other part I want to mention here is there is a search reason needed for an audit trail. So what that means, you can audit how the system is used at any time, and there needs to be a search reason. So somebody wouldn't be able to go into the system and say, you know what, I want to look for every red Honda that passed by this specific camera at this given time. They can't do that. They would have to be triggered by a crime that would have to be tied to a case number. So it would have to be a report of a crime. And then, as I had mentioned, no personally identifiable information and no third-party database. Nothing's connected to a third-party database there. There is a part that is unique to Flock that I wanted to mention, and this is the transparency portal. What this is something that can be attached to your website or to social media, and it's really just a way to show the public how the system is being used. So you would be able to customize this. I know that's a little small and hard to see. I'm sorry for that. But basically what's on here, this is an example from Vallejo, California. And they have on there a link to their policy, to their license plate reader policy, as well as the different agencies that they're sharing data with in the state, and then what's detected and what is not detected. So basically how it's used. You can also put numbers in there. Anytime you do an audit, you can do an audit as frequently or as infrequently that she can as needed. And so that's something that you can put those numbers up there to reflect how the cameras are being used and how the technology is being used. And I want to end on a few examples. This is one out of Dayton, and this is a Flock camera that actually picked up a vehicle of a suspect who was driving, who was wanted in a Dayton homicide, and it was able to arrest that person thanks to that hit on the camera. This is another big use. We talk about homicides and carjackings and other types of crimes. Missing persons and silver alerts is actually a very wide use of the flock cameras. This one is out of Akron, Ohio, and this person was found nearly 500 miles away from home. So she was reported missing, and then that her vehicle was placed into the database, and that's how they were able to get a hit on that vehicle. So we were able to safely reunite with her family.
Amy, I have a quick question.
Sure.
I think it was on one of the boards, or one of the slides here, but I am not sure. You can't just type in a license number and have it search for it, can you? You'd have to physically go check all of these films to find any circumstance, to find the license number for this woman. You'd have to physically check all of them.
So no, it would be, if since this was, she was reported missing, so her information was called by her family. So her family called in and said, this is her license plate, this is the make and model of the car. So if that vehicle that was reported showed up on the flock camera, it would trigger an alert. So you wouldn't have to search for anything, it would be an automatic alert. But you wouldn't be able to, if she was just driving her vehicle and was never reported missing, you'd never be able to go in and look for her license plate.
Right, but so if somebody said, you know, there's been a crime in Sylvania and here's the license number, you could plug that number in somehow and check if,
yes,
where that car is.
Yes, okay. You could check it. I see what you're asking. Sorry. Yeah, so, yes, you could see if that
vehicle had come through any of the cameras.
Yep. Okay. Once it's in the system. Yeah. And this one, this is another example. This is a little bit further away, but I put this in here because it speaks to the preventative nature of how the license plate readers work. So this is out of San Bruno, California. Jewelry store owner was able to actually chase off armed and masked suspects who came into his store. And he was not hurt, thankfully, but he was able to get them out of the store, but he was concerned. He reported it to the police. They were concerned that these folks might escalate and might come back and be even more violent. So the police department there actually put that license on a custom hot list. In the vehicle description. And that, in fact, did happen. When they showed back up in the parking lot, they were arrested before they even entered the store. So it just kind of shows a little bit of prevention there.
The owner of San Bruno jewelry store fended off some robbers by bullet.
Sorry, it really wants to play that video. I try to just skip by it. But, so in this one, I will go ahead and end on this. This is an Amber Alert. This is out of Chamblee, Georgia. This is a suburb of Atlanta. So this mother was pushing her baby in a stroller down the street of her neighborhood. She was approached by two suspects, masked and armed. They snatched the baby. They took the baby, jumped in a car, and drove off. And she was not able to get the license plate, but she did get the vehicle description. And so that description, that vehicle, showed up on about 5.5 hours later on a flock camera in Alabama, so it stayed away. And thankfully, they stopped. The baby was rescued and was safely returned to his mother, and the suspects were arrested. They were apparently looking to raise the child of their own, so that's the motivation behind that one. But thankfully, he's back with his mother. So Amber Alerts are another wide use of this technology. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there, and I want to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions from members of the committee or council members?
Where is the software housed? Where is the main repository? And I know AWS, but I'm talking about, is it in Atlanta? And do they do where the programming happens?
So the software, all the data would be kept within the police department, so it integrates with the police department technology. As far as where the cloud is,
I know AWS you mentioned the other side.
Right.
So I'm talking about the software. There's a server that you plug the license plate number in, so that system triggers the alert to all the cameras to look for this. So who has that software?
I am not sure about that. I will check on that for you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's within the United States. I don't know if it's in Atlanta or if it's...
Okay, that's what I...
So, yes, it is in the U.S., though.
Okay.
Do other members of council have questions? So I have...
Go ahead, Marcus. Chief Miller, I'm not sure if these statistics came from you or from Block, but one of Mr. Frye's questions was, you know, do you have any statistics available? And you provided several showing the reduction in crime. These, all of those are tied to the solely use of Block cameras?
Were those questions for Mr. Hayman?
No, those were mine.
Your questions?
Yeah, I was just surprised, and Amy did explain a lot of the preventative measures. I was just surprised, you know, before reading that, I was looking at more.
These are questions, those were from Block's information that was given to us from other communities that have instituted the Block program and thus that they had with it.
And the reason for my question, I was looking at more as solving crimes that had already been committed rather than preventing crime. But you seem pretty confident that it's also works at preventative measures?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
We would actually have, I mean, we had a situation with an individual that was abusive. There was a separation in the family where he was coming back and making active threats. We would be able to create what she was talking about, the active hit list, custom hot list for our department saying, we know this gentleman drives this car with this plate. We want to be notified any time he passes the cameras coming into the city because we know from the threats he's making to his family that he could be possibly be headed for the house. The officers that are signed on to the program on the computers would get an alert saying this car just passed by here, he's on your custom list. And the officers would go start heading towards that house to try to intercept them if that's where in fact he was headed.
Okay, that makes sense. How does it integrate into our alert? Because you mentioned, okay, there's an alert. Is this a separate software or does it integrate into the dispatch?
It's a software program that would be, it's like a cap that would be put on the cars or it could be put on a cell phone. For the officer, if you have cell phones and all the police cars, they put it on there and it could just run in the background. So if something popped up, it would pop open the window and be like, hey, here's a picture of the car, this is where it was last seen, and then they would go start looking through the area.
Okay.
So it's like an app that runs on the computers and the cruisers.
Amy, tell me a little bit about the maintenance of the equipment and how you ensure that there's not a that the camera is in working order and not running into complications.
Yeah, that's a great question. So if there is an issue with the camera, Block will be notified right away, and then within 72 hours, the chief will get notification that someone will be able to look at that, see what's going on with it. If the camera needs to be replaced, we can do that.
Somehow it sends you a signal saying that it's offline or something?
Yep, so we'll know.
And you don't notify chief until 72 hours?
No, we would within 72 hours. So it could be like we would be able to diagnose and hopefully fix the problem within that time. But it would get communicated to us, and then it might get communicated to the department as well, just that the camera's offline. In each contract, in the length of the contract, the software, all standard software upgrades are included. And if something goes wrong with that, that's included as well. So that would be something that's with the software.
So the standard software upgrades are included in the annual fee, the
right.
Ongoing annual fee?
Yes, exactly.
And how many times have you increased that annual fee throughout the life of your business?
To my knowledge, one time. So, and that was just recently back in April.
And how long is the contract signed? Is it an annual contract?
So we do different ones. The standard is 2 years, but we have also 1 year and 3 years as well. So. And then if you're for the physical equipment, if the physical equipment is damaged, we will replace that too. It is a scale depending on what the damage is, if it's vandalism, that sort of thing.
I probably told me in here, but how high are the cameras that, like, it seems like people could vandalize them?
So
out of reach?
They're 10 feet, but the pole, sometimes like a vehicle might hit a pole, mm-hmm. and that can come out and replace. And then if the camera stopped working, sometimes we've had instances where a vehicle hits the pole and knocks the camera off, so the camera's not picking up. No license plates are rolling really on the street. So we would definitely come out and fix that equipment. And then there's, through the years, we've improved weatherproofing the equipment as well, so in climates that are very cold or very hot, the cameras are able to withstand that as well, but if there's any issue, we would advise me.
What percentage of your clients renew their contracts?
Don't have that, I could get that for you.
Thanks.
But I can tell you most do, but I don't have that.
Well, I'll look forward to getting that information, thank you.
Sure.
Other questions?
Chief, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
So I've heard that there's the option to connecting this to statewide or national networks. Is that your intention to have it connected, or are you intending to keep it separate?
We would open it to other law enforcement agencies to have access to. Just as, like, Toledo Police have opened theirs. It makes sense because our criminals are transient a lot of times, and in cars, they're coming from out of our city into our city. So that way, we would have access to their data as well. So it's like a data sharing with each other.
Gotcha. I just wanted to make sure that was the intention.
Yes.
Thank you.
So if I may follow up with that, let's take a step back. You mentioned that the cameras, because these are cameras, they're not video cameras, correct? They're snapshot, license plate, make, model, right? Color. Leaving the city, the cameras are catching a vehicle that's exiting, correct? You mentioned during the presentation that they're coming, people are coming into the city, perhaps. Are you taking pictures of cars coming into the city as well?
It would depend on the placement of the cameras, so I'll let...
We're mostly concerned with catching what's coming into the city. And right now, we have been able to use some of Toledo's because they're catching what's coming into their city, which is actually what's leaving our city.
Yep.
And Township is looking into it. I do not have locations where they're looking at. But again, if they would leave our city, they may not be next to each other, but it may be a little farther down the road, and we'd be able to pick up information from those cameras. So our concern is getting the information on what's coming into town. Because we know they've already done it and they've left, if we can get the information as they're coming in, that's going to be our golden opportunity to have a plate and have the description of the vehicle to go back and track.
Right, because I can see if we put one on, I think there was a list of 15, I don't remember the specific spots, but I'm assuming we're going to have one on Monroe Street, for instance.
Yeah, Monroe and Whiteford, Lexus and Whiteford, we're trying to get every major entranceway into the city.
Right.
Ideally, then, you would build into it more cameras within the city, because then you could track movement within the city.
Uh-huh.
So if that stolen car came in on Alexis and Monroe, or Alexis and Wakeford, then you would get another camera hit telling you, hey, there's that same car just passed through at Alexis and Monroe, now it just passed through at Dana Monroe. You can broaden this to however many cameras you want. Right now, what our concentration is getting the like a kind of a level of protection around the city so we know what's coming in.
Understood. The reason I was asking the question is, I'm assuming that the cost of this varies based upon the number of cameras?
So it's the standard per year, $3,000 per camera.
Right, so
yeah.
If the city of Toledo has a lot of these, they're, I'm assuming they've got cameras on Monroe Street as well, and I'm assuming if the township moves forward, they're going to have cameras on Monroe Street as well. Perhaps that's where the coordination, it sounds like you've already kind of mentally made that step and are interacting with the other organizations and police, law enforcement officials in that regard, correct? Because there's no reason if the city of Toledo's already got one and for us to be repetitive, I guess is why I'm asking.
Correct. But
okay.
theirs are down more towards LH Monroe. So it would be the township trying to put one in the middle.
Right, understood.
If they went with that.
Okay, so let's talk about cost for a second. I saw the proposal. Was that an actual quote, or was that just an indicative, hey, it would be about this number?
I think that came from our sales rep, and I have not seen that. So
I was working with Logan that's based on the location where they're at, and that is as close as we can get to where we were putting solar operated ones to where we were putting ones that we could put on poles that were AC operated.
Uh-huh.
For the most part, we're using solar with a pole installed.
Okay.
So, short of if we had any hiccups of a location or something where something had to be changed, or maybe an additional cost for wiring or that. That's about as close as we can get down based on what types we're putting at what location.
Okay, so the order I'm looking at is 97 grand. It's got year one and then recurring subtotal of 45. So 52 plus the 45. I'm assuming that's.
The 52 covers the installations.
That's just the installation?
Installation and the first year.
So the installation in the first year, the 45 is the year two of the 2 year agreement, correct? And then presumably, assuming there's no increases in the cost, it would be 45 thereafter, assuming we don't add more cameras.
Correct.
Okay. One of the things that you mentioned is, and there's lots of conversation in the document that you're proposing to make the information anonymous. And you only hold it for 30 days.
Right, and what it captures in the vehicle, you mean?
Yes.
Right.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate because somebody out there is going to be listening to this and ultimately say, and I've already had this conversation with the chief and the mayor, so they already know what's coming. I don't believe you. I don't think you're going to make that data disappear in 30 days. It's going on to the Amazon Web Services, and it'll be there from now until the end of time. How do I know that it's not going to be used for other purposes that are not for law enforcement?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's the information that's stored in the cloud is encrypted end-to-end, and it's also it's something that is, there's a time to, if we call it a time to live with each image. So there will be a timestamp when the images are deleted. And also in terms of space on the server, it would not be effective. It would be very costly and not efficient or effective to save all those images. So, but the most important piece to remember, I think, is the timestamp. That it will be timestamped after 30 days and gone.
You say encrypted. Encrypted how? Is this the kind of encryption that a 12-year-old from, you know, some country in Eastern Europe could break in 5 minutes, or is this real encryption?
No, it's real encryption. The Amazon Web Services Cloud actually is the most secure available to government agencies in the United States currently today.
Okay. Document a bit more. So the 30-day hold period, I see conversation in the agreement talking about an addenda, and the 30 days is nowhere in the actual contract that was put in front of us. Is that something that can change? According, if Flock says, okay, we're going to hold them for 60 days, assuming it's not part of an ongoing investigation, which I'm assuming means you hold it as long until the chief or somebody in the police department says, okay, we don't need this anymore.
Yeah, so actually the 30 days is Flock's recommendation.
Okay.
So that is, it's completely up to the chief and the police department if that's going to be less or more. We found that 30-day period to be kind of that sweet spot for protecting privacy, but also allowing the department to be able to access images to help solve crime.
So since it's our data, we control how long we keep it.
Correct. And then the Amazon Web Services Cloud, we don't see. Flock doesn't manage or see or do anything with that data. It's secure. So nobody sees that part of it. But yes, it will be completely up to the department.
So
we can download that data as we're investigating a crime. We can
right.
Get the pictures, get all that stuff off, and still leave it on a 30-day retention and let it just, because we've now taken the screenshots, we've got the information we need.
Got it.
It disappears. There's always a trust to hold it and take up storage space.
Understood. So mention the city of Toledo, mention Rossford, talking about the township, correct?
Right.
What other communities in Lucas County, Northwest Ohio, are you working with now?
I would have to, because I do the education side, I don't have that at my fingertips, but I can check with our sales rep on that.
Lucas County Sheriff's Office. I believe Allen put up 4 of them, and they also purchased the remote one that they could move around themselves. There's that option. Rossford just did it. I believe Perrysburg is looking into 5. I do not know if they've officially signed on with them yet. And then there's even as little as Fayette out in Williams or Fulton County has one camera for their town. So it varies, but it is starting to kind of go that way. I think Otto Hills was talking to Flack too, so.
Okay.
Pretty soon we're going to put it in camera.
Well, that's why I was wondering how big the net's going to be and how consistent it's going to be, or are there going to be holes in there?
Well, we definitely don't want to be a hole.
I wasn't talking about that specifically, I was just talking in general.
No, it's getting pretty well covered, a lot of them. I know Luke's County Sheriff's was putting a lot around Springfield Township because of the crime rates out there when I talked to them. Toledo not only has the outer perimeter, they've got a lot, and again, it's driven by their crime rates where they're putting them and the information they're trying to recover from. We've actually used Toledo's cameras on some of our shoplifting because we know the car fled east into Toledo, and we were able to get a hit, identify a plate, and identify a suspect. So it's a great tool working in conjunction with each other when we place them.
So we're going to be connecting these things to poles in some cases, but we're also potentially installing poles.
Correct.
In the city, presumably in our right of way, correct?
Yes.
So I used to have AOL as my email address. I'm not being disrespectful, maybe you're going to be the next Amazon, I have no clue. So what happens if we find somebody else or some other way to accomplish this objective and Flock, we choose not to renew, or we choose at some point in the future, we don't, what happens to the equipment, I guess is what I'm trying to say in a long-winded way.
Yeah, so we would, if you decided not to continue with the contract and not to renew, we would take all the equipment back. So it would, the equipment is not yours, would not be your responsibility.
Okay, so you would pull that equipment.
We would if you decided not to renew.
And how long, so if we choose not to renew, how long would that take?
I don't imagine it would take very long. I don't have a specific timeline. I'm actually not sure about that, but I can check for you.
Okay, because
is that in the contract? You raise a good point.
Well, the concern I have...
Cell towers don't go away.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
They abandon them, so...
Well, the reason, and that was one of my concerns, but these are not cell towers. I presume these are much smaller pieces of equipment, but it's still the same concept.
Same issue.
My second concern was the way that the contract document, and I'm not trying to negotiate for the city, but I guess I am. So... My concern is that it talks about making the data anonymous as long as our contract is in effect. But when if we terminated the contract, are the cameras still operational, and is somebody else actually able to still use that data, and is that no longer anonymous for our citizens?
No, it's anonymous. The product is designed to have no people, no filter for people, no facial recognition, no personally identifiable information. So that's across the board. But when you cut off a contract, if you do not continue or you do not want to renew the contract, everything gets pulled back. We do not continue using it to capture images.
Does that mean you shut down the cameras when the contract is complete?
Correct.
Before you take them down?
They would be, right, they would not be operational.
Leslie, when we look at the contract, specify that they have to remove the equipment and so
There is language in there.
Is there?
Yeah. There's no bond attached to it, but there's language in it.
Okay.
It says commercially reasonable time period, I think, is what the language is.
But we are responsible for the poles.
That's part of the cost of...
So we would be responsible for taking the poles out if we decided to remove this.
Well, I just wanted to address.
Yeah.
I don't care what.
Okay.
I don't care how. So we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we just don't want poles hanging around for no good reason.
Because I've negotiated with cell phone companies about taking down towers when they stop using them. And they won't agree to it.
I don't have any other questions. Members of the committee, members of council, have any other questions?
How many communities throughout the country, probably says it somewhere and all the stuff I've got, have engaged in this program or committed to it?
Yeah, so we have about 2,000 law enforcement agencies, and then we also work with HOAs and schools and businesses. So about, I would say about 1,400 HOAs and about 2,000 law enforcement.
And who would be your competitor in the market?
There are a few, Motorola, Fusus, Vigilant, a few.
Other questions?
A comment, if I may, Mr. Fry. We, based on the contract proposal that we received, the city's only investing $7,250 to actually install these things.
Right.
$45,000 a year is just to lease the cameras and operate them. So if we find a better deal or a better system someplace else, it's really the $7,250 that we're out. It's not that we have a large investment. Of course, you could say we should, for that $45,000 a year, we should have ownership in the cameras. Well, they're not offering them for sale. They're leasing. That gives us flexibility to go someplace else if we choose to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So members of the safety committee, what's your thought process?
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm okay. I would support it.
Mrs. Westfall?
I think once it has been presented, our community would probably be concerned if we didn't exercise the opportunity to learn if this is the right thing for us. I think we should move forward.
Well, I'm perfectly comfortable with it as well. I mean, my big brother concerns have kind of been allayed a little bit. So, because that was the thing that came to my mind when I first heard this presentation. And Ms. Cornell, you've done a nice job in addressing some of those concerns, and I appreciate coming in and doing the presentation for us. So with that, Mrs. Bryan, I guess sounds like there's an opportunity so we could order it up in the council meeting for the next...
Just a recommendation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'd be open to a recommendation from a member of the safety committee to ask for legislation to be prepared at the next meeting, and I know we have to do that at council.
Would we need a public hearing on this? Would we want?
Don't think we would need one.
No, it's not.
You don't need a public hearing, but you can have a public information. Information, that's where I was going.
What's the thought process of other council members in regards to doing that?
Because we understand the technology, we've received the information, but having the public have the same fears alive that we just discussed, I'm just thinking that might be a good...
It might be, and I'd like to ascertain the township's position, because I think it would be really good if we had a joint meeting with the township, a joint information meeting with the township. If we don't know where they are in the process.
We had a joint information meeting, I would want her here.
Yes.
And if we're not going to do it jointly, this meeting was really very good. And I mean, it's obviously available to the public. What about the slideshow? Do we have, can we get that from you?
Yeah, absolutely. I can send that to
you. Okay, great. Sure. We add that to our record.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
On the page that you had shown that showed what our specific policies were, I believe that was an option.
The
transparency portal. Yeah. Is that something that you're intending and having, or does that cost more?
It's all included, and it's an option. It's included with every contract.
Okay, so sounds like there's also that option that could help after the meeting for anyone who would have concerns as well.
Yeah, the transparency being on our Facebook page and our website is going to be a huge help to the public. It'll put a lot of people at ease.
I suspect if we have a public information meeting ahead of installation, we're not going to have a whole lot of interest. Once these things pop up, then we're going to get some interest. I suspect.
So, Mr. McCann, are you comfortable with, you know, talking about this via social media and other formats rather than having a public information meeting?
Yeah, we can publish it as best we can. And then, as Doug said, I think we'll get the questions posted.
Yeah, we will get questions.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of tools we can share with you. Recommendations on putting it on social media, press releases, things like that.
Once council, if they do, passes this legislation and makes the order, do you have an estimate of the timeline for installation?
It has been right now about 3 to 6 months.
So we have time.
Yes.
To put it on our social media, for me to write a mayor's message about it, mm-hmm. or even to have a public meeting about it.
Yes. Yes, and we would communicate with you to make sure that the timing is right, that the money is gone before you get ahead of the message.
And if there, if we end up having lots of concerns after we've made the contract, it's on a 1 year. We can treat it like we did Dora, if we're giving it a trial.
Right.
So I'll make the motion that we move to request administration to prepare legislation for the flock safety system.
Second. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and we'll take that up in front of council here in a little while. And again, I want to thank Cornell for coming. Appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity to utilize this technology. It sounds like it could help us in trying to keep our citizenry safe. So thank you for that as well.
I do think that you said you'd send along the
PowerPoint.
The PowerPoint?
Yes.
As well as the responses to the questions we had.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else to come before the committee? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, and we are adjourned at 7:10 p.m. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your